You're listening to Amud V'Chazara with Daniel Eisenberg, Seches Brachos, Daf, Mem Zayin, Amud Aleph. We're going to start the last line of Mem Vav Amud Beis. Tana Rabbanan, Ein Mechabdin Lo Bidrachim V'Lo Bikisharim. So we do not honor somebody, not on the derech, not on the road, and nor do we do that on bridges. Rashi says, "Ein mechabdin." What do you mean? You don't give people honor? So it means lomar haya atakodem, to say, "No, you please after you." No, I insist. You go first. You go first. Lo bedrachim, not in the path, the roads either. Not on the roads. Holchi drachim lomar legodal himenu lechalafanai. Meaning you go before me. Please, I insist. None of that. That's it. You know, you're getting off at an exit on the highway. That's not the time. You know, please after you. No, I insist. I mean, you could be polite. Let somebody go first. And if you don't want people to cut each other off, there is driving etiquette. But just like the most honorable, respected person, that they go first. We don't do that. We don't try to create traffic issues. V'lo b'yadayim mezuhamos, and not with dirty hands. Right, that we don't give people honor regarding cleaning hands. With mayim achronim, so we don't say, please, I insist, you go first, because perhaps the implication is that you have really dirty hands, my friend. So it's not a matter of respect. Rather, if it comes to you, you go first. Okay, Ravin v'Abaye havu ka ozli ba'orcha. Ravin and Abaye were going on the road. Kadme chamre deravin lida Abaye. And Ravin, his donkey went ahead of Abaye's. V'lo amar leih, and he did not say to him, Nizil mar, let the master go. So Abaye said to himself, Midasali kai mirabana mimarava gasle date. When this guy came back from Eretz Yisrael, he got very gas. He got very arrogant. His das became gas. He became like very thick-minded, arrogant, meaning Abaye is the gadol ador, one of the gadolim of at this time Bavel, and he should have been going. He should have gone first, and Ravin like cut ahead of him. So kimata lepischo debe kinishta, when they got to the door of the Beis Medrash, Amar Leih, he said to him. So a Ravin said to Abaye, Neomar, let the master go first, please, I insist, Rebbe, go before me. Amar Leih, he said to him, Vad hashto lav mar, all of a sudden I became the master, I wasn't master before. Amar Anna, all of a sudden I'm a master now. Amar Leih, he said to him, Hachem Rabbi Yochanan, now this is the teaching of Rabbi Yochanan, Ein mechavdin ele b'pesach sheish b'mezuzah. You only show honor to somebody at a doorway that has a mezuzah. So what it seems to be saying is that we don't do it on the road. Meaning there's no cover that you give to somebody on the road, only if the door that has a mezuzah. So the Gemara is going to challenge this. Hold on, the isbe mezuzah in the lisbe mezuzah low. Oh wait, you only do that at doors that have mezuzahs on them. Elameata, but now according to what you're saying, basic and this is basic medrash to lisbehu mezuzah hachinami deim mechabdin. But a base medrash, halacha, base medrash, and a base kenesis don't require a mezuzah. Many have, but they don't require a mezuzah. So you're saying that I don't honor my rebbe and let him enter the base medrash first? Are you kidding? Is that possible? No. So the Gemara explains no. Hachinami deim mechabdin. Maybe you don't cover there. Ela ema bepesach haroi le mezuzah. Now, what does the teaching mean that Ravin quoted in the name of Rabbi Yochanan? It's not you only show kavod at doors with the mezuzah, but a door that's fitting for a mezuzah, meaning a normal doorway, as opposed to on the road. So on the road, you don't show kavod to somebody, you do what you need to do. But if it's a door that could potentially have a mezuzah, meaning a normal doorway, then you would show kavod to the person and let them go first. I think it's just very interesting to see this dynamic. Throughout here and throughout the previous few blot, but really all over Shas, that there used to be like a real understanding of degrees of kavod. There used to be like a real sense of that, and I feel like we don't have it so much nowadays. People are in general very sensitive nowadays. Like there's a question in the Gemara, the blot about like the three rabbanim are sitting together and they did not know like who is any of us more chassid than the other? Okay, so I guess maybe we won't even have a zimun, but that was like an anomaly. In most cases, like it was clear that there's like, you know, there's a hierarchy of kavod. You have three people and three mitos, and we don't really, I feel like we don't have that so much anymore. We know, okay, yeah, like rabbanim, like you know, is they're on, maybe on a different level, like, you know, Rav Cohen. Okay, so clearly he's the most respected person in the shul, but everyone else, maybe yes, maybe no. It could be due to our sensitivity nowadays in general, and or just general lack of kavod of not our society at large. But it's just interesting to see this contrast that like Abaye was, you know, like he, Ravin was also a big Talmid Chacham, but it was understood both in Abaye's eyes and Ravin's eyes that of course Abaye should go first. Just interesting to note. Okay, Amar Rav Yehuda Berei de Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei de Rav. Rav Yehuda, the son of Rav Shmuel, the son of Shila, said the name of Rav. Ein masubin reshoin lechol klum ad shiyitom abotzeya. That the masubin, the people who are reclining, the people who are dining, are not allowed to eat anything until the botzeya, the one who breaks the bread and says hamotzi, tastes. He needs to eat from the food first, and then everyone can also eat their food. This is assuming that they're relying on his bread. If everyone has their own bread in front of them, won't be a problem. But let's say it's his bread and he has it and he's cutting slices and someone to take the bread before he eats, that is forbidden. Yosef Rav Safra Vekamar Litom Itmar. Rav Safra was sitting there and he said Litom, that he's not right. It was originally quoted that Einam Sun Rashain Lechol, he's not allowed to eat Klum. So Rav Safra said, Vekamar Litom Itmar. It was stated that you're not allowed to taste anything. Lamai Nafkamina, what's Nafkamina? What's the difference? Okay, he's Lechol Litom, to eat, to taste. So Gemara responds, Shechayav Adam Lomar Beloshan Rabba. Because we, for accuracy's sake, that a person is supposed to repeat a teaching in the exact lashon of his rebbe. So don't change litom lit lechol. Quote it as it was stated. Okay. Tana Rabbanan.
Like Adam and Chava.
What?
Like with Adam and Chava. Yeah, he's changing what Hashem told him.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, it could, well, to some degree. Meaning, it's important to quote it in the exact lashon, especially because if you're going to make a diuk on the lashon. So I mean, it's, I guess, related that, you know, Adam, if Adam would have related with more clarity, then it would have avoided the entire world that resulted. But in general, the importance of quoting the exact words, because, you know, even if you quote the exact words, as we see time and time again, it's so easy to be misunderstood, misquoted. So Kal v'chomer, if you change the lashon a little bit, the telephone, that broken telephone that could result, is not good. Tana Rabbanan v'lan din d'oraisa shnayim mamtinin zeh lezeh b'ka'ara shlosha ein mamtinin. So this is talking about, you have two who are eating from one ka'ara, one plate. So like right, they're sharing a platter of some sort. And so if two are eating from this platter, they should wait for each other. Meaning if one pauses for some reason, whether it's to take a drink or something like that, then the other one should wait for him until he's ready to come back to eating. If he, I don't know, takes a phone call, whatever it might be. I'm not sure if the Gemara was referring to a phone call, but, you know, whatever it is. So mamtinin zelazeh, bika'ara, shlosha, but if you have three guys sitting on a platter, ain mamtinin. Right? If one guy has to step out for a second or take a drink or whatever it is, the two other guys don't have to wait and not eat until he gets back. It reminds us of the benching early, kind of, a little bit, that, you know, we don't make two guys end their meal early or respond to Zimun early. For one, and similarly, we don't have these two guys wait for one. Habotzeya, the one who breaks the bread, hu poshet yado tchila. So he's supposed to take the bread first. Even if he's not the most coveted, like the most honorable one there, but if he's the host or for whatever reason he was given the honor of breaking the bread, so he takes first, right? Ve'im balachala kovel rambo olamisha gadol haymenu, but harush just biyado. But if he comes, he wants to honor somebody because the rebbe's sitting there, so he wants the rebbe to take first, or there's somebody who's just greater than him in general, and he wants him to take first, he has the ability to give over that rishus. Meaning, naturally, it is his right. He doesn't have to give that kavod to anybody else, but he is permitted to. I don't think this contradicts what we said earlier, just that, but no one else should grab ahead of him because he's the first one to, it's his right to take first. Rav Abarchana hava asik le libre beirav Shmuel barav. So Rav Abarchana was being osik in a setting up a shidduch for his son with the daughter, the home of Rav Shmuel barav, meaning the daughter of Shmuel barav, Rav Katina. Kodim v'yosiv v'kamtani le libre. And so he got up and he sat down and taught a brisa to his son to prepare him for the wedding where he would make the hamotzi, and this is what he taught him. Ein habotzei rashai litzoa ad sheyichle amein mipi ha'onim. The botzei, the one who's breaking the bread, is not allowed to break the bread until all the amens from the mouths of the answers have ended. Sheyichle amen, until the amens have finished, mipi ha'onim, from those who are answering. Meaning, this is a discussion we had earlier, I think it was on Lamed Tes, where we had a discussion on the machlokes, do you break the bread in the middle of the bracha, at the end of the bracha? This is what we spoke about, and we said at the end of the bracha, and not only is it at the end of the bracha, but this brisa teaches us that it's even after the onim answer amen, that's when you break it. Rav Chisda Amar mipi rov ha'onim. Rav Chisda says the majority of the answerers. You don't need to wait for everybody. Amar le Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama said to Rav Chisda, or regarding Rav Chisda's teaching. Or maybe it was no, yeah, to Rav Chisda, I think. Maishna ruba. What's the difference? The majority, right? You're telling me, no, the majority of them means not all of them. Maishna ruba dakati lo kalya bracha. It's because it has not yet, the bracha is not yet finished, right? You're assuming that the bracha ends with amen. Therefore, right? So we wait for the amens. So miutanami lo kalya bracha, but also for the miut that are still saying amen, why would you not wait for them as well? Meaning, why do you follow a majority? According, for those people who didn't say it, the bracha is not over yet. If the bracha really extends till amen, Amarle, he said to him, Shani, Omer Kola Ona Amen, Yoser Midai. It's different because we're talking. My qualification, says Rav Chisda, was regarding those who are answering Amen, Yoser Midai. Shani, it's different what I was saying. No. Sha'ani Omer. Sorry, that's correct. Amar Le. Sha'ani Omer. Because I say, Kola Ona Amen, Yoser Midai, Eino Elatoa. Somebody who is answering an Amen too much, too long, he's only mistaken. Meaning that you are not supposed to say Amen for too long. So I meant like, you know, those guys at the end, you know, the Amen, those guys. What are you doing? You know, so you don't have to wait for those guys. Those clowns are they're Eino Elatoa. But everybody else, the normal majority of amens, if people are saying amen properly, you have to wait for them. You don't have to wait for the toim. The toim meaning the mistakers, not the strayers, which would be with the tough. Okay, now here's a brisa about amens. Tanu Rabbanan. Ein onin lo amen chatufa, v'lo amen katufa, v'lo amen yisoma. Lo yizok bracha mipiv. So a person should not say an amen chatufa, or an amen katufa, or amen yisoma. So amen chatufa means, so Rashi explains that it's shakorinus ha'alef, it's an interesting Rashi to read, chatufa shakorinus ha'alef bechatav velo bepatach, that you read the amen, the aleph of the amen with a chatav and not a patach. So patach is an a, or patach gadol, so it's an a or an a, but the chatav is the old name for a shva, that's what Rashi calls a shva, so I. The is sound. The Omer, and he says, Amen, v'hu tzarach lomar Amen. So, it's really hard because Rashi doesn't have nekudos. But, what the way that should be read is, V'yomer, Imen, v'hu tzarach lomar Amen. So if you say a Amen chatufa, so chatufa either means snatched Amen, that it's like there's something snatched from it, or it means a chataft Amen, meaning Amen with the nekuda that Rashi refers to as a chataf. So, which is a shva. So it's either a shvud amein, a chatavt amein, or a snatched amein. By the way, the bottom line is Rashi says it's saying imein instead of amein. And he says, lo amein ketufa, not an abbreviated amein, ketufa. Rashi says, shemichsar kriyas hanun, sheina motziya v'peh, shetei nichras. Right, so you don't enunciate the nun of properly of amein, so it's amein. And the nun is to is not heard, so that's called an abbreviated amein. That's also not good. V'lo amein yisoma, and not an orphan domain. Oh, so sad. What is this orphan domain? Shalosh shama habracha el shama sha'onin amein. That you didn't hear the bracha, he just heard people saying amein. Right? You walk into a room, everyone says amein. You don't know what they said amein to. They're like, oh yeah, amein. You know, that's cool with me too. You don't know what you said. So that's an orphan domain. The amein has no parents. There's no bracha to that amein. Rashi over here. Tosos also does. Like Rashi and Tosos ask the same question, address the same point, that there's a famous Gemara in Sukkah about the big shul in Alexandria, right? In Perakah Chalil in Sukkah, at the end of Sukkah, Sheb Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim Hayu Manifim Besudarim Keshiyag Alis Aros Amin. They would wave flags. No one would hear the bracha. It was such a large shul. No one heard the bracha. So they would wave flags to indicate that you should answer Amin. So what do you mean? Isn't that Amin Yisoma? So Alma Lo Shami Veka Anu Hanu Meda Yade Shehim Onim Achar Bracha Val Ezo Bracha Him Onim Ela Shaloha Yishon Mesakol. Meaning they knew exactly what bracha they were answering to. There were some indications that they knew what bracha they were answering to. So it wasn't Amin Yisoma. They just couldn't hear the words of it, but they knew what they were saying. It's not someone who walks into the room. He doesn't know what bracha was said. He says Amin, because that's absurd. But he's saying, I believe that's true. To what? But if you know what you're saying to, I just didn't hear the words. So that's not Amin Yisoma. Tosus says the same thing. So I wonder if Tosus didn't have that Girsa of Rashi. He seems to be asking the same question to give the same answer. I'll look more carefully and see if there's a difference, but that's Rashi. Okay. So you shouldn't do these things. And lo yizrok bracha mepivin, you shouldn't throw a bracha out of your mouth. Right? Seemingly, Rashi says, b'mehirus shedoma alav kemasa of shokavari. No, say bracha properly. Don't throw brachas out of your mouth. It's ingenuine to do that. Okay, these are things you should not do. Ben Azai raises the stakes over here. Ben Azai, Omar Kola Ona Amen Yisoma. Anybody who answers Amen Yisoma, you banav Yisomim. His children will be Yisomim, which means he's going to pass away, right? Chatufa. A snatched amein or a chataf amein, yiskatfu yamav. His days will be snatched. Katufa, abbreviated, yiskatfu yamav. His days will be abbreviated. Meaning, same thing for all these things. You do one of these inappropriate ameins, it's a danger to your life. V'chol ha-marech ba-amein, marichin lo yamav v'shnosav. Anybody who extends the amein, who elongates an amein, he extends his days and his years. So Tosfos just clarifies over here, we don't mean that to the point where it's going to be inappropriate and no longer sound like the amen, because that's the first thing that Rav Chisda said you shouldn't do. So I mean, some happy medium. It's like amen, you know, something like that, as opposed to amen, you know. Yeah, I wish there was like an audio button on the Gemara so you could just like click over here and it just gives you really what it meant. Okay.
So he says you should like put stress, more of like a stress on it and not elongate it.
Tosa says ubilvat shalil yarech yoser midai. You shouldn't do it too much. Because the sound of the word is not going to come out as it's supposed to be. Kishu marech yosem idai. Umaskana demilsa de ena botzei rashai lebtso achiyicha amein mipi rova onim. Right. So we follow the majority, meaning you don't have to wait for those guys who are extending the amein too much. But to say a nice geshmaka amein, that's a good thing to do, says Ben Azai. Okay. Okay, continuing in the Gemara. Rav Shmuel Havi Yasu Besudasa. What?
Let's say like your Rebbe is going like a really long amen. Do you have to wait for him? Or just like, let's say he does that. Like,
yeah, I don't know exactly what the length is, but Rav Chisda says for those people who are mistaken, so if it's your Rebbe, maybe you can assume he's not a Toa. If he's not one who is mistaken, maybe. You know, but I guess so. I mean, if you see it's overdone, and I don't, you know, but and I guess he could try. Rav Chisda says that if it's people who are doing it inappropriately, so if you could trust the person who's elongating is doing it appropriately, then I don't think it's something to be concerned about. You would wait for it.
Is there anything actually wrong with waiting for them? Or is it you don't have to wait for them?
Good question.
It's unclear from
Rav Chisda. I guess something that would be wrong is you're delaying the mitzvah, right? Which we don't want to make a hefsek. We don't want to delay a mitzvah unnecessarily. Especially if there's some clowns, or I don't know, maybe it's not nice to call them clowns, people who just don't know the halacha, so you don't have to wait for them. So it looks like you probably shouldn't. Also, that's just what it seems like to me. Rav Shmuel have a yasmi v'sudasa. Rav Shmuel were sitting down in their suda. Also, Rav Shimi Bar Chiya. Rav Shimi Bar Chiya came to join them. Have a kamisarhiv. He was like va'achil. He was hurrying up trying to eat his food, right? Amar Le, they said to him, Amar Le Rav. Rav said to him, Madatech, what are you thinking? Litz trufe bahadan? What are you trying to, why are you eating so fast? You're trying to join us for benching? You want to make a zimun with us? We already ate. We already finished our eating. You can't come in here and join us. Even if you rush, you can't join us for benching. Amar Le Shmuel, Shmuel said to him, I don't think so, Rav. He said, Ilu maisi li ardilaya, they would bring for me ardilaya, mushrooms, vigozlaya la abba, and the little pigeons, young birds, pargios, for Abba, Abba referring to Rav. It's interesting, Rashi over here says for Abba, maybe it's not here. So Abba is, it was Rav's, oh, here we are. Shmuel Chaviv in Alav, Adilai B'Kinu Chesuda, but yeah, Vishmuel HaYikari LaRav Abba L'Chvodo. He called Rav Abba out of his honor, which is very interesting because there are other sources that indicate that Abba was actually Rav's first name. His name was Abba. Abba Richa, Tall Abba. That was his name. Rav Abba Braunspiegel, many, many Abbas, Choshev Abbas. So Rashi says over here that he was calling him out as respectful, father, but it could be that he was just calling him by his first name because they were close to equal level. Ardilaya vigozlaya la Abba. So, but if they would bring mushrooms for me and young pigeons for Abba, milo achlinan, would we not eat? Meaning that you and I are both very open to, we finished our meal technically, but we're both open to dessert. Since we're both open to my favorite dessert, I love mushrooms, you love pigeons. So we're both open to our desserts. The meal still extends and he can join us for the Z1. Tell me de Rav, havo yasvi besudasa. The Tamidim of Rav were sitting in the Suda, all Rav Acha came up, Amri, and they said, also Gavra Rabba, Demavarich Lan, oh look, the Choshev Rav Acha came to join us. He's a Gavra Rabba, he's a big deal, he's an Adam Gadol, he should lead the Zimun. Amri Lahu, he said to them, Misav Risu de Gadol Mivarich, Ikoshev Suda Mivarich. He says, you think that the most Choshev person here should have the bench? He's like, no, granted, of course the most Choshev person here. And again, there's an acknowledgement, meaning with humility, but understanding of everyone's level. He says, no, it's true. Yes, I'm the most chashuv person here, but the Iker Seuda, the people who are actually sitting at the meal the majority of the time, who start off the meal together, they're the ones who bishabench. The Hilchosa, Godo Mevarech. And the halach is against what he held, despite him being a Gav Rabba, it was against what he said. Afal Gav Da'asa Lebesof. The Godo makes the bracha, even if he came at the end of the meal, the Iker Seuda doesn't have priority when it comes to leading the Zimun. Achal Demai Vechule. So this is a quote from the Mishnah. We said that somebody who eats Demai is, something that, okay, well, we I think we could do it. So Demai is food that had not, that we don't know if Maestro was taken off of it. An Am Aretz presents this food, and we don't know if Maestro is taken off. So it could be Tevel, it could be not, and the halacha is that we don't eat Demai. Demai, right, we assume it's Tevel for many intents and purposes. We assume it's Tevel, even though it's a suffix if Maestro is taken off or not. So the Mishnah says that you eat that if there is demai at the meal, you make a zimun, or assuming there's three people that bread. Huh, but the Gemara asks, halo chazile, but it's not befitting for him. Meaning, how can you make a zimun? The safe of the Mishnah talks about all these cases where you're not supposed to eat this food, and you don't make a zimun because it's usher to eat this food, right? If you eat treif, you don't make a zimun on that. You don't make a bracha on that. It's a blasphemy to God. So What do you mean over here? That demai, you're not allowed to eat it. How are you allowed to make oziman over it? Okay, so the Gemara responds, Kevin de ibay mafkir lehu lenechsei v'have ani v'chazile. Because if the guy on the spot would be mafkir all his possessions, he says, everything I own is hefker, and he would become an ani on the spot, then it would be fitting for him. Ditan, I'll explain that in a second. Ditan, because the Mishnah says, we have a Mishnah that says, ma'achilin esaniyim demai. The Rabbanan made demai aser. We consider demai aser. However, the Rabbanan did not make it aser for aniyim. They said you can give aniyim. Aniyim can eat demai, right? Because it's not really aser. We assume suffek. It's a suffek, and the Rabbanan created a status of demai being aser, but not for aniyim. Vesach sanya. And also for like when you have to host like armies, troops that would come through the town, so you could all you can give it to you can give demai to poor people and to the achsanya. So machina says asaniyim demai vesachsanya demai. And therefore, since poor people can eat it, this guy at the meal technically could be mafkir all his possessions, become an ani on the spot, and then it's mutter to him. Now, even if he didn't do that, it's fine because demai doesn't have such an usher status now. It's a lot lighter than, you know, eating real tevel, untithed produce, or eating treif or something else. It's a lot lighter because it could be fitting to him. It's not so far. It's one sentence away from actually being fine for him. And therefore, he can make a ziman on this. They can make a ziman on this. Vam Rav Huna, but Rav Huna says, Tana Besham, Rav Huna quoting a brisa, Beshamei Omrim, Ein Machil Nasaniyim Vesachsanya Demai. That you're not allowed to feed Aniyim and Achsanya Demai. And just, so this is just Rav Huna saying, Beshamei would argue, this Mishnah is in accordance with Beis Hillel. Okay, Meiser Rishon, Shanatal Truma, so we mentioned in the Mishnah, Meiser Rishon that Truma was taken off of. So Meiser Rishon is that, so what happens is that a person has produce, he gives off the Truma. The Truma is 1/40th, 1/50th, or 1/60th of his produce he gives to the Kohen. After he gives that to the Kohen, about 1/40th, 50th, or 60th of his produce, now he takes off what's called Meiser Rishon. He takes off 10% of what's left of his crops, and he gives it to the Levi. And the Levi has this 10% now, and he gives 10% of that to the Kohen. So that's called Trumas Meiser. He gives the Truma from the Meiser. So we first give the Truma to the Kohen, the 1/40th, 50th, or 60th, we'll call it 1/50th. We give the Truma to the Kohen. Then we give 10% of what's left to the Levi, and the Levi gives 10% of what he got, Trumas Meiser, to the Kohen. Good? So far? Okay. So the Mishnah talks about how, if you have Meiser Rishon that the Truma was taken off of, this you can make a Zimun on. So the Gemara says, Pshita, isn't that obvious? Right, of course. What's wrong with it? If you have this, meaning, what's the Havamina that this would, you would not make a Zimun on this? This is normal food. Meiser was taken off of it. What's wrong? So lo, Tzricha, no, we need it. Because you might think that maybe there's something lacking in it that shouldn't be okay. Ella, Shehakdimu Bishibalin. This is where the Levi came first, right? When they were still in ears, the grain was still in the ears. V'hafrish mimenu trumas meiser, and he took off trumas meiser. V'lo hifrish mimenu truma gedola, and he didn't take off truma gedola. Truma gedola is the first truma that you're supposed to take off, the 1/50th that you give to the kohen. So what happened? While it was still in ears and it wasn't subject yet to truma gedola, the Levi came and he took his tenth. Of the Meiser, and then he gave the Trumas Meiser to the Kohen, but the Kohen missed out on the Truma Gedola here. He missed out on the 1/50th. And so over here, so maybe you would say, look, he didn't give Truma Gedola. Maybe you can't eat from this, and maybe you can't make a Zeman with this guy because the Truma Gedola wasn't given. He took off this, right? The Trumas Meiser, but not anything else. So Gemara responds, Ukidu Rav Abahu. And this is in accordance with the teaching of Rav Abahu. Dama Rav Abahu, Amarei Shlakish. Meiser Rishon Shehikdimu B'Shibalim. The Meiser Rishon, that the Levi went ahead and took it while they were still in ears and not subject to Truma Gedola yet. Pater mi Truma Gedola. He doesn't have to bring Truma Gedola. He doesn't have to give any portion of that to the Truma Gedola. And we see Rav Abahu holds. And that's what this Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah is saying that he didn't give Truma Gedola, but it's fine. He's Pater mi Truma Gedola, and you can make a Zeman over it. That's the Chiddush of this Mishnah. You might have to listen to that again in the recording just to get that clear. I'm sorry if it wasn't clear enough the first time. And this is the pasuk that Rish Lakish brings, quoted by Rabbi was quoting. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, "V'harei mosim imenu trumas Hashem," that a meiser and a meiser, that it says that you should, that you're going to lift up this Truma Hashem, Meiser from the Meiser. Meiser min a Meiser, amarti lach. So I, the Torah said to you, Meiser, you, that the Levi takes Meiser from a Meiser, velo Truma Gedol of a Truma Meiser min a Meiser. Okay. So the, then it, so then this, okay, it looks like everyone disappears, so we'll record the last minute on our own. So it says that you take the, that the pasuk tells you, you take truma, you take meister from meister, meaning the Levi has to give trumas meister, but he doesn't give, but he doesn't, his trumas meister from the meister that he meister rishon that he received, but he doesn't have to give trumas meister and the truma gedola. So this pasuk exempts this Levi who went ahead and took the truma and took the meister and then gave truma's meister to the kohen. Amar li Rav Papa Labaye, Rav Papa says to Abaye though, ihachi, if so, afilo hakdimu bekri. But so nami that what if it wasn't they weren't in the ears, but they were, meaning they're taken out of the ears already and they're put in a pile. So what if, so shouldn't this halacha be the same then, that the Levi who goes ahead and takes the truma's, takes the Meister Rishon and then gives Trumas Meister to the Kohen, even if it's in a pile, right? You said just, but because this Pasuk says that a Levi doesn't take off, he only takes off Meister from Meister, doesn't take Truma Gedola from the Meister, but then why should it only be the ears if the grain is in the ears, even if the grain is in the pile? It should be the same thing. Amar Leis, Abai says back to him, Alech Amar Kra, in response to your comment, the Pasuk says, turn the Amud, Mikol Meister Seichem Terimu, from all your Meisters, you should take off truma. You should take off truma. So what we see over here is that sometimes a Levi does give truma. So we have one pasuk that says you take that the Levi gives meiser from the meiser, excluding truma from truma gedola from the meiser. We have another pasuk that says from your meiser you take truma. That the Levi is going to take truma sometimes. So it means sometimes yes, sometimes no. If the Levi went ahead and took the meiser rishon from things that were in a pile, from the grain that was in a pile, so then he will take off truma gedola from that. But if it was only if they were still in their ears. Then he would not have to take off Truma Gedola. So now the Gemara asks, Umara Isa, what do you see to apply one pasuk, this pasuk to the pile and this pasuk to the ears? Maybe you could flip it around. So the Gemara responds, Hai idgan v'hai lo idgan. This has become dagan. This has become grained. This has become grained. Right? Once it's in a pile, it's already considered grain, and then it would be subject to the Truma Gedola. V'hai lo idgan, and this, if it's still in the ears, it's not considered grains yet, and therefore not subject to Truma Gedola, and therefore that's why we apply this pasuk in a case where they're still in their ears, while this pasuk, which would require the Levi to give Truma Gedola from the Meiser Rishon, if the grain was piled up.